GNC 589. It's Friday, July 2nd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a program of the Tech Podcast Network. Whoo, we made it into July. Can you believe the year is already half over? Wow, I got a great show for you. Lots to share. Prizes to win tonight. You need to stay listening. Don't go anywhere. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. You know, it always happens right as I'm ready to pull the trigger on the show. Either my chair isn't adjusted, or what's happening is I've got one of those pads underneath the chair here. It's one of those plastic pads, but I think it's kind of cheap because the wheels kind of sink into it. So it gets like these spots. I guess I could be like Leo Laporte and sit on one of those bouncing balls, but no, I'm not going to go there anyway. So I got a very nice, comfortable, expensive chair to sit in, and that's the way it's going to remain. So, hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana. I want to thank all of you that are longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for coming in and watching or listening to the show today. We appreciate it. Of course, those of you that took the time to watch on Ustream tonight, late at night, thanks for coming in, or early in the morning, depending on what part of the world you're at. So, again, thanks for being part of the family here, and it really means a lot to me. Here we are, show number 589, and we have listeners from 165 countries worldwide, and it's pretty amazing to find that we are reaching that big of an audience, and the audience continues to grow show after show. Hey, I'm going to do something new tonight with the newsletter. So this is going to be a little bit of an experiment. I actually got an email from, I won't say who, but suggested I made some changes to the newsletter. This is a part one change. There probably is going to be a much better change because there's a template being built, but you're going to definitely see a change to the newsletter tonight. Let me know what you think. It's the very first time I've used this new service, and but we're going to be experimenting with it here for a little bit and see if I like it for about a month and to make sure everyone's getting the emails. You need to let me know if you don't get the newsletter tonight. And we're going to be making a special offer to people that are also going to sign up for the newsletter as well. Now, the old newsletter sign up is going to remain for the time being, and then I'll just port things over if I decide that's what I'm going to stick with. But more importantly, if you're new to the show, you're going to want to get subscribed to the show. And really, it's very simple. Get over to geeknewscentral.com. Second column of the website, you're going to see an orange box. It's going to say subscribe. There's going to be a blog RSS feed, a podcast, a video, and a special event feed. The feed that you're going to want to sign up for to get this show is the podcast feed. Now, you can sign up for the video feed. That'll get you the video portion of the show as well. This exact, if you're listening to this on audio, I've got the same exact version of this on video, me here in the studio. Of course, if you're watching us on the Roku or Boxy, thanks for coming out. I tell you, I've been experimenting with the video a little bit over the last couple of days, running some different encodes. So those of you that are on watching on Boxy or even on Roku, you're going to see a difference in the show today. So we'll keep our fingers crossed, and I'm going to run with that for a few times to see how that works out. Always tweaking things here a little bit over time. Again, get subscribed to the show, and that way you'll never miss a single episode here. Hey, I got a pile of stuff today, so I better hurry. I've got to have a whole bunch of things to go through, or we're going to really run long. I want to thank the sponsors, of course. This is the first show of a new month. I want to thank for GoDaddy for being here with us, really, from the middle of, I think, May. Oh, yeah, May of 1985. So, you know, going on a little over 5 years now. And thanks for GoDaddy for being here. And then actually this month is the 5th year of GoToMeeting being a sponsor here at the show as well. And that's pretty exciting. And we're starting a new quarter with them. They've renewed. And a matter of fact, there's a whole bunch of new shows throughout the podcasting space that are on Citrix Buys this month, or actually this quarter. So we're excited about that. I'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But definitely thanks to for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. You guys know they are the sustainment of the show. They help me keep the lights on and do the things that I do. And we really appreciate them. And we appreciate you when you go over there and pick up GoDaddy products. I'll share some promo codes with you here and a few. And of course, our newest sponsor, Matrix Direct. And you guys know I've been alternating Matrix Direct and the Citrix Buy in here. And thanks for Matrix Direct for, again, sponsoring the show here this month. And we appreciate that. Okay, I'm going to give away a prize. And the contest starts right now. But you have until I start the show when I record it Monday night. Okay, so if you haven't watched the show and it's the morning of July 5th and you're listening now, you need to respond immediately. Okay, I'm going to be giving away a Lenovo A63 desktop computer with 2 monitors. All the software comes along. I think it's got Windows 7. It has Microsoft Word. It's a whole huge package of software that comes with this package. It's yours, okay? But I'm going to give you 3 ways to win. This is kind of cool, okay? In tonight's show notes, there's going to be a special survey link. Now, here's the thing that's cool about this survey. Now, while this survey is designed largely for people that work in businesses, and it may not completely apply to you, doesn't matter, but go through and do this survey, because let me tell you what you can win just by doing the survey. Now, this survey is sponsored by Ivy Worldwide, and what they're going to be giving away as well, okay, so you've got a chance to, if you fill out the survey, you got a chance to win the Lenovo A63, but you also have a chance to win a Lenovo A70 all-in-one PC, an LG Bluetooth headset, LG Bluetooth stereo headset, or a LG Bluetooth solar car kit and emergency charger. There's going to be, that prize, the headset, the stereo headset, and the solar kit and emergency chargers. There's 5 of those they're giving away. Now, there's only 12 properties. Geek News Central is one of them. There's only 12 properties that are going to be going and filling out these surveys, okay? And I don't know how many people are going to apply, but it'll be a second opportunity for you to win. So if you go through and if you fill the survey out, it's 15 questions. It'll take you 2 minutes, 3 minutes tops. When you get to the end, do a screen capture of the last page. It basically says thank you. It's got a little logo on it. Email that to me at geeknews@gmail.com. That'll get you in to win the first time. I'm going to put you in one that's there. The second way to win is if you go to iTunes and do a review of the show. So when you're at iTunes, you can black out whatever rating mark you give me. And if you go and do an iTunes review and send basically proof that you've done that to me, and you can say whatever you want to say. I'm not going to be bad on you if you badmouth me. If you do an iTunes review, that's a second way. So send me a screenshot of that. And number 3, if you're signed up for the newsletter already, you're already entered once already. But if you're not signed up for the newsletter, sign up for the newsletter. Show me that you've done so by sending me an email with the email address that you signed up for in the newsletter. Or tell me that, and I'll enter you a third time. And then on Monday, I'm going to pick one winner. And someone's going to walk away with a Lenovo A63 desktop computer with 2 monitors. So you got three chances to win by taking the survey. I'm going to have a link in the show notes, the iTunes review, and sign up. If you're signed up for the newsletter already, you're already entered. Okay. So add additional opportunity here by going ahead and signing up for the newsletter if you're not already. Okay. So that's what we're going to do for the contest. So that's what's going on. You're only going to hear it here. Okay, it's not going to be in the show notes. There'll be some mention of it, but you'll have to, other people will have to listen. But we'll give that away on Monday's show. So 4 days. That's it. That's all you got to react to this. So move out. Move swiftly. And geeknews@gmail.com. Lenovo A6, or just put A63 in the subject so that I know what you're talking about. Send me those screenshots, and that's basically how you get a chance to win. And there's a lot of people going to be out for the 4th, so probably not as many people would run this or go with this than they normally would. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on beyond the giveaway here. Talked a little bit about, in the last show, investment in the show. Now, here's... Don't get me wrong. You guys know I have advertisers in the show, but what we're planning to do with the studio is a significant investment. And I'm looking to, over the month of July, and I'm just going to cover this real heavy once today, and then I'll mention it a couple times throughout the rest of the month. We're going to set up a special program this month for the Geek News Central Insider. And what's going to happen is if you donate $100 to the show, you're going to become instantly, obviously, an insider and will be listed on the insider list. If you give $250, we're going to give you $50 in credit on the Ohana store, and then you'll get you'll be listed on the insider page with a link back to the website of your choice. If you give $500 to the show, we're going to list you in a special section of the insider page and give you a link back as well. But here's the granddaddy of them all. Now, if anybody donates $1,000, your website and lights back here, okay, behind me, for 90 days, you're going to get a spot that's going to rotate through. You're going to get a link on the insider page, and you're going to get a special mention in the show notes for a whole month. Okay, so you'll have a special mention in the show notes. So a good opportunity there. Is anybody going to donate? I don't know. But here's the goal. The goal is to get to 10 grand. I want to get to 10 grand in 30 days. If we make $8,000 in the first 15 days, I won't have to trade in the TriCaster. I've been in talks with Andy and Jeffrey that we really want to reserve that other TriCaster that's here in the studio right now as a unit that will be available to send to Tech Podcast team members, and we'll be able to go to events. So the goal is, if we can get to $8,000 in 15 days, because that's really what I have. I have about a 15-day window before I have to turn this thing in and get my credit. But if we can work, because that's what I was going to do, because I'm going to cover the rest. And let me show you guys what I'm buying for the studio. So you guys know what this is going for. Those of you that are up on, we're buying a TriCaster TCXD850. It's an 8-channel HD portable live production unit. And it's part of my big plan to really expand the show. And if you're seeing the price tag on there, you know why we're having the fundraiser. I am going to buy this, and I hope you guys can help me with the raising some money to offset some cost. And if we raise $8,000 in 15 days, I will essentially keep the old one. And so that's the goal. So if you feel up to it, those of you that are already on the insider, those of you already contributing, I don't expect you guys to give anymore. You guys have already given. Thank you for your contributions monthly already as well. So it's just a special deal for this 1 month. Okay, new items in the Ohana store. And I actually owe a message back to Sam over at, because he was the winner on our last show, the live.geeknewscentral.com design. I got to send him an email tomorrow on what we're going to do there. Also looking for inputs on show 600. And what we're going to actually be changing at show number 600. We're 11 shows away from show 600. Don't forget to go over to geeknewscentral.com/offers, geeknewscentral.com/insider to find out how to donate for the insider promotion. Of course, geeknewscentral.com, GoDaddy for all your sponsor codes, and cafepress.com/Ohana store. And of course, really, what really pays the bills right now, even amongst this purchase that we're planning to make, is really the sponsor, GoDaddy.com. If you're looking for domain name, virtual dedicated server, really that's the place to go to pick up domain names. And the prices are up, but I've got the new prices listed on the website. $769 is the new discounted cost using ComSale. I tested that this morning. Promo code Todd will save you 10% on non-domain orders. Todd20 will save you 20% on a 1-year shared hosting account. Now, with all this craziness going around here, hopefully I won't have a heart attack and my wife won't have to collect on the new insurance policy that I purchased for her and for myself. But check out Matrix Direct. Matrix Direct has helped over 4 million people with their life insurance needs, and they can help you too. Just go to matrixdirect.com/podcast for straightforward information and a free quote. Really, there's no reason to wait any longer to get the term life insurance you need. Take a moment right now, visit matrixdirect.com/podcast, and they'll give you all the details. Again, policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas, not available in all states. For details about this paid event advertisement, please visit matrixdirect.com/podcast. thanks for Matrix Direct for being a sponsor here. And you guys see the banner on the website and the link in the show notes. But again, also, big thanks for GoDaddy as well for being a longtime sponsor here of the show. All right, let's move on. Let's see what else I've got here. Make sure I got that done. That's covered. There was one thing I was going to talk about. I guess quarter three. This has just been a week of me not getting sleep because I've been up late taking care of really all of the getting everyone launched for quarter three advertising, and it's been pretty nuts. It really, really has. So anyway, enough on that. Let's get into the tech, and we'll leave behind the special promotion stuff going on and move into the regular content here. Hey, before I do that, let me go ahead and just flip this. For those of you that are on watching on Boxy, let me actually take this overlay down. If you haven't seen the Ohana store, here's, just look at all the stuff. We've got GNC logo jerseys, t-shirts. We got insider t-shirts, hats, mugs, the Ohana, all kinds of great stuff in here. This is great. And this is Sam has done all this. He takes care of the Ohana store and cafepress.com, Ohana store. There's probably 100 items in here now. He's really expanded and added a whole bunch of stuff in there. So Sam and I are going to be collaborating on some other stuff. He's got some ideas on helping the show out too. So we'll be talking about that. All right, let's get right down to business. Hey, Firefox Home has been submitted to the Apple App Store. What do you think the chances of this being approved? And what I kind of wanted to do was, you really can't see it. If I play this, it'll kind of really overload everyone's senses. But they've created a video. And here's what Firefox Home is going to do. If you're, many times I'm working on something real quick and, I'll have to go and I'm not done, or I finish up and I say, man, I need to take this with me or email that link to myself so I know to load it up. Well, if you bookmark a page in Firefox, you're going to be able to access that very easily. Oh, don't do that to me. It's going to really, what it's going to end up doing is providing you a way to quickly get back to stuff that's in your on your computer at home, and it's pretty cool. So I look forward to what's going to happen. Is Chrome going to crash on me here? It appears I may be headed for a crash with the browser. Oh, this is not looking okay. Don't do that. Okay, it's reloading. I think we'll be okay. Those of you that were on the video, I don't know what happened. We disappeared there for a few minutes. So while I was trying to fix that, I know what happened. The browser went away, and I was still on the browser page. All right, over on blogarithms.com, podcorps.org is closing. 3 years ago, the Conversation Network launched podcorps.org as a place where producers of audio and video streamers around the world could work together. But the site never really achieved the momentum that they wanted to. So my good friend Doug Kay is shutting that down, and he's introducing a new website called Media Mobs at mediamobs.com. It says it's a good place for people to migrate to. So if you're part of the PodCorps, you can get over to mediamobs.com and check that out. There's a big conversation today about the iPhone 4 and some conversations that supposedly Steve Jobs had with a customer, and it appears that the entire conversation was fake. The CEO did not tell an angry customer, calm down, retire, it's just a phone, and that's been the laugh. That's no matter what, that's going to stick. That's going to stick for years because it just struck a chord. Every website that I saw there was probably 30 websites that link back to this original article. They were all had by this article. But anyway, They were all talking about it's just a phone, and which really kind of goes against everything that Apple has said about the iPhone 4, especially Steve Jobs has. But Apple is saying, no, he did not have this conversation with anyone. And I kind of, when I initially read the conversation, it just didn't sound, it really didn't sound like the tone Steve Jobs used, because he used like one-liners, and these were like multi-sentence replies and stuff. So, but anyway, a lot of news outlets were had, and I'm sure the site that brought it up, which we'll talk about a little later, is probably going to have a lot of egg on its face. Hey, over at Sony, are you guys familiar, those of you that are overseas, have you been wanted a Dash? Well, up until today, the Dash has only been available in the United States. But now the Dash is available for export, and you're going to be able to buy the Dash. Now, here's the thing that Sony's saying about the Dash for those of you that are overseas thinking about buying this thing. They're saying that the Dash is still primarily intended for use in the United States, and the availability of apps and services will vary by region. It says, for instance, many providers automatically geo-filter their content, so your experience with the Dash may vary depending on your locations. Now, if you remember, I did an interview with Sony on the Dash at CES 2010, and actually, was pretty impressed with the unit. I have yet to get my hands on a production unit. They're pretty slick. They're pretty nice looking. They would make a great alarm clock. But we've been looking at building apps for the Sony Dash as well. But until we get our next programmer hired, we're really kind of barely keeping our heads above water, and we should have the new programmer hired next week, which we're very excited about. So anyway, pretty cool what they've done there. They've made it available overseas as well. Hey, those of you in Comcast, they're starting to offer a multi-room DVR feature, and this is a little different. It's called Any Room DVR. It has the same capabilities as a standard DVR, except that this new DVR will be centrally located. It has a 500 gig hard drive in it. And then long as you've got another cable provided set-top box and you pay the applicable fees to get that in your home, you'll be able to access the DVR and cue it to record stuff from any room in the house. Now, they don't say how many channels they're going to allow. Now, they're saying you can connect to a maximum of 3 devices. So, but it doesn't tell me how many things can be played back at once. So we'll have to see how this actually develops here. But, I'd been thinking about buying another, or actually renting another cable box for our bedroom. I've got the Roku in there, but there's sometimes kids want to watch something on the TV in the living room, and I don't want to be in the living room watching what they're watching. So I retire to the bedroom, and we just have a regular cable hook to it, and you can't get everything that you normally subscribe to. But pretty cool device and an interesting feature by Comcast. How come we never hear anything of Time Warner doing anything? We don't hear them talking, they don't talk anything about what they're bringing out. It doesn't seem like there's anything new. At least not in our region, there isn't. All right, AT&T is been criticized pretty heavily about locking down the Android headsets. And they have basically, this is a statement they've made. Now, we talked about this on an earlier show. It says AT&T selected the Android market as the exclusive source for application because it forces developers to be accountable for the apps they submit. If the Android community has issues with an app, the app can be flagged and removed. This minimizes the risk of malicious apps harming customers and provides more protection to the customer, private data, and customers' private data stored on the phone. So what do you guys think about that? That's the reason they have their Android locked down. Has anyone in this audience picked up an Android handset, specifically the Moto Backflip or the HTC Area? Have you guys picked up one of those from AT&T? And are you using the Droid on their network at all? Has anyone done that because of the lockdown? If you have, love to hear your feedback. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. And I'm fully expecting to get some bashing emails. And guess what subject I think it's going to be on? Stuff that we talked about in the first part of the program. Okay. The Hulu CEO says we're complimentary to cable. All right, Hulu announced their $10 a month subscription plan, but get this. You're going to have to still watch advertising. You don't even get advertising-free content. So, you know, this is pretty surprised that, you know, you're going to be slapping down $10 a month, and you're still, they say, here's what they said. The CEO said lengthy consumer research found that users were more willing to pay if the service was partially subsidized by ads. Do you think I react to $10 or more of ads on NBC and their related networks every month from television? Do you think I actually react? No. No, I don't. Now, here's the thing. This service is broadcast focused and complementary to your cable and satellite service by design. Oh, this is funny. This is funny. Now, here's what I want all of you to do. I'm going to be a little devious, okay? I want you to call your cable provider. Tell them that you want to cancel your NBC shows only because you're paying Hulu $10 to watch on the on your iPad, okay? Tell them you're paying $10 and you're going to watch it on the computer, so you want that those services removed from your television and you would like a discount. I know it's not going to, nothing's going to happen. It's going to be a wasted call, but it would be a lot of fun. So I'll be first. I will call my cable provider tomorrow and ask them to cancel all my NBC programming. Oh gosh. I haven't even used Hulu. Oh, so maybe we can have a little fun with this at the expense of Hulu. All right, you guys know I'm a big fan of flip cameras, flip video cameras. You know, I think I've got two or three of them around the house here. A couple of them were provided by Flip. But, you know, Cisco bought Flip some time ago, and Cisco is saying that a Wi-Fi flip camera is going to be available by Christmas. And it wants to integrate those products with Apple's FaceTime. So I don't know how exactly they're going to do that, but I think it'd be very cool to have a Wi-Fi flip. And the problem is, what we found with the flips is they're great cameras for doing, you know, kind of little videos. The sound in them is not that great, but it's not going to beat the iPhone 4. Of course, you can only use the video editing on an iPhone 4. So if you pay for that app, I don't think you can actually do the video editing on the iPhone, but because I think where they charging for that $4.99 is what they're charging on the App Store for the video editing from Apple. But it's pretty cool. It's pretty nice, and it looks good. So the question is, are they going to make the flip a little more smarter so that you can actually edit on this thing and then transmit via Wi-Fi straight to YouTube or other sites? They're going to have to really step up the game, and that's going to mean that the monitor is going to have to get bigger, I would think. And with the monitor getting bigger, then it's going to get more expensive, which will probably, you know, so I don't know. We'll have to see what Cisco's going to do with the flip here, but it makes me really think that they are struggling to figure out a way to compete. Of course, there's, you know, many of you that will use my kids use the flip a lot, and where I wouldn't let them use my iPhone. Hey, pretty cool ad, and this was a article written by Alan, one of our contributing editors over. Hey, aren't those guys doing a great job on Geek News Central? Aren't all the editors? I mean, they've been smoking. Matter of fact, I laughed when I emailed everyone this morning and said, okay, send me your blogging totals for the month, and I'm going to get ready to impact my PayPal balance. And they did. They impacted my PayPal balance pretty good because we do pay the contributing editors at Geek News Central. Everyone that writes articles over there gets paid. And, they've just been stepping the game up. They really, really have. Now here's a fun article. And just the reason I wanted to bring it up is because you gotta love Motorola. They ran a full page ad in the New York Times on the Droid, and a picture of that is up on the video portion of the program right now. And the very bottom of the ad, it says here, and I'm not going to go into the full ad, but it says, it comes with a double antenna design, the kind that allows you to hold the phone any way you like and use it just about anywhere to make crystal clear calls. You have a voice and you deserve to be heard. So they obviously took a shot at the iPhone 4's supposed antenna issue. And there has been some testing done, and we'll talk about an article. I actually got an article on Ars Technica later in the show that actually shows how much loss is really happening with this supposed issue with the iPhone 4. So we'll cover that. But that was by Alan, one of the contributing editors. Also, of course, for our UK folks, we got a UK contributor. Andrew is our one blogger that is from the UK. And he wrote an article basically people over 50 getting online in the UK. And here's something that was an interesting statistic. In May of 2009, there were 36.9 million people online, growing to 30.8 million in the same month of 2010. Of this 5% growth, 1 million were over 50. For comparison, the World Bank reckoned there were about 61.4 million in the UK in 2008. So that means a little over 63% of the UK is online. And interesting, it was mostly men in the over 50s group where they saw the rise in people getting on the net. So this is pretty impressive number there for the growth of folks getting on the net. Now, the article that I wanted to really talk about was one that was done by Sousa Bell. And I know we have a lot of folks in this show that listen to this show that are vision impaired. And so, you know, using websites and devices can be a challenge, essentially if they're not accessible. And she talks about challenges she has at school that she works at, the college she works at, and how she has to ensure that disabled students have access to the same resources that all the students do, regardless of their disability. And she's really got a good point here that says that e-books or e-readers are nearly completely inaccessible, which has resulted in the Department of Justice issuing a statement saying, and this was done in jointly between the Department of Justice. Oops, let's go back here. This was done jointly between the Department of Justice and the Department of Education, U.S. Department of Education, with an endorsement from the Office of Civil Rights, where they said schools are cautioned against recommending forcing or prescribing ebook readers for their students. It is unacceptable for universities to use emerging technology without insisting that this technology be accessible to all students, the statement said in part. So I'd love to hear some feedback from those of you that have disabilities that listen to the show, especially vision impaired. You know, what do you guys think about this announcement? I think it's great. I really did not realize that there was such a big issue with e-readers. And, you know, many of them will actually read, you know, a text to voice, but they will not, the menus don't have any voice functions. So while you can hear the text being read, then you try to navigate and there's just no way to navigate because there's no cues. Now, they have the scrolling up sizes and fonts and all that, but, you know, for someone that's completely blind, it does them no good. So, interesting announcement by DOJ, DOE, and Office of Civil Rights. Hey, we heard about this spy ring, right? Boy, I tell you, you thought the Cold War was over, right? But, as being reported in networkworld.com, the Russian spy ring needed some serious IT help. And I'm going to quote here, the Russian ring charged this week with spying on the United States faced some of the common security problems that plague many companies. Misconfigured wireless networks, users writing passwords on slips of paper and laptops, help desk issues that took months to resolve. In addition, the alleged conspirators used a range of technologies to pass data among themselves and back their handlers, including PC-to-PC open wireless networking, digital stenography, to hide messages and retrieve them from agencies on website. And, you know, I guess when the FBI was doing search warrants, and I don't know if they were going into these folks' homes without telling them or how this all went down, but they found like pieces of paper with passwords on and special key combinations to get into special sections of their computers and so forth. But it's pretty funny to read through this. I guess the Russian ITs have the same problems that many American IT agencies do with, you know, can you imagine that you're a spy and you have to have tech support? Oh, that's just, you know, to me, that's just, it was the hilarious portion of it. Now, obviously, what they did was, or what they've done is wrong, and they're going to pay the price. And too bad, you know, I'm not very politically correct, I guess, when it comes to people spying on the United States. I think there's one punishment that fits, but obviously I'm not in charge of writing that law. And we'll see. We'll see what the courts do with these folks and how they're found guilty or not guilty. But I guess everyone has a presumption of innocence, and we'll see how the courts do it. But it doesn't look good for them. It really doesn't. All right. Some months back, a 22-year-old woman was jailed for 2 days after being arrested for filming two brief snippets of a motion picture. What did she actually film? She filmed Twilight. Of course, that's, you know, I guess the sequel to that or the prequel or whatever is out now, and everyone's going crazy. Well, I had asked my kids about it yesterday. What is this? And they rolled their eyes and told me what Twilight was about because I haven't seen it. And but anyway, she was jailed for 2 days because the movie theater was trying to collect on a $500 reward from the MPAA. When the police hauled her away and called the MPAA and asked for guidance, the MPAA said, well, you know, delete the videos and cut her loose. And they didn't. They kept her in jail for 2 days. So now she is suing for $50,000 in damages, claims that she did not film with intent to pirate the movie, that instead she was having with her friends and family at a birthday party, and that she's, you know, claiming distress from being arrested and having people mock her. And so we'll see where she goes on this. But can you imagine? First of all, don't record stuff at movie theaters. They're pretty sensitive about that these days. And who knows? You may spend a couple of days in a slammer. I don't know where she's going to go on this suit or not, but we'll see. Hey, the folks over at CNET have a great article. And I love articles. It's got lots of pictures and lots of videos. This is a behind the scenes with the next $100 bill. Now, you know our currency. I got to move this cable here. You know our currency has went through multiple changes to try to stay ahead of the counterfeiters. But they have a multi-part article that talks about the technology used in making money. And, of course, they had to have the money shot where they're showing, you know, $400,000 of $100 bills all wrapped up. But this is a pretty good write-up, and if you've never had a chance to go to the Mint, and I recommend this. If you are in Washington, D.C., you know, you can take a tour of the Treasury, and you'll actually be able to see behind glass walls money being printed. And it's always fun to see, you know, a big, you know, you see in these movies where, like, they're in casinos, and you see just racks full of cash. And you're thinking, oh, if I could just have a handful, right? Well, you can go to the Treasury and you can go to the Bureau of Engraving and Printing and actually tour. And you can actually, you're not going to be up close like this guy has, but pretty cool stuff here. But link will be up in the show notes. I had heard one time that the United States actually printed currency for other countries as well, because we had such good technology. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I had heard that. Now, it kind of seems kind of weird, us printing other countries' currency. Lots of weird things could happen there. But I had heard that one time. I don't know how much truth there is to it, but it's here and there. That was years ago. All right, if you have a Chevy and you have OnStar, users today can start beaming your directions to your car. And so this is called eNav. It's a feature now that's fully operational. So again, if you got an OnStar-enabled GM vehicle, a model year 2006 or newer, you can search for a destination in Google Maps and then have it sent directly to your car. It's similar to Ford Sync, and it basically will give you, basically download into your map system, and it'll give you directions. Now, I don't know how it gets there, if you email it or whatever, but it sounds like you actually have to be at your computer or maybe your mobile device. It's not like you can just punch it in, and that doesn't really make any sense at all to my, to me, because it seems like you'd want to do that. And I don't know, haven't been in a brand new GM car that has had OnStar features. Of course, there's no screen. It just talks to you. So, you know, I don't know how you're going to shut it off or any of this other stuff. If anybody's got one of these, has a GM OnStar eNav, love to hear from you on the show, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Google announced today a purchase of ITA. ITA Software Incorporated, they purchased them for $700 million. And what's important about this is a travel information provider. And this has been rumored for a couple of months now. And Google's essentially going to own us in the skies, too. They own us on the ground. Now they're going to own us in the air. So this is another big win by Sequoia Capital and Battery Ventures, because they only had about $100 million financing round from them. So a big cash win for those investors there. But I guess ITA is linked up with a lot of the companies that we use to search for airline tickets. I think, I don't know if it's Orbitz or those, you know, those specific companies, but those folks have to be really worried by this move. Now, we know Bing Travel was announced last year, and Google is saying it's going to honor all ITA contracts, but you know, Google's the 500-pound gorilla. They come to play, and it's a game changer. We'll see how it makes a difference in all of us trying to find the cheapest airfare. If you're a loyalty flyer like I am, where you fly on the same airline every time, I don't know if these types of sites would make that much of a difference or not, but maybe. Of course, Google updated its news.google.com yesterday, and some people like it, some people hate it. I'm kind of on the fence at this point, but they made some definite big changes to it. Partially in the way that you navigate. Now, I played for a little bit this afternoon, added some new categories, a social news category. I added some other stuff as well, but I really didn't use any of the sharing features that was introduced in the rollout. But there's no question here that Google is trying to really make a mark on having this as a destination page for all of us. But, you know, all the sections like world news, sports, et cetera, are still there. And news for you is a main portion of the page. But they kind of got all kinds of sharing features in there. But we will see how this works out and whether or not this one sticks or not. I found this article over at GigaOhm.com. Of course, Google earlier in the week as well announced that basically they were kind of conceding a little bit to the Chinese, where they were saying that 1 in 7 searches would be actually going back to the Chinese Google servers versus the Hong Kong ones. And they're trying to appease the Chinese a little bit because their license to operate business in China expired today or yesterday. And they are really at this point kind of in limbo on whether or not they're going to be able to continue to operate here. And I'm sure China is going to be play a little hardball with them, but it's a little disappointing that they backed down to a certain extent. But really what Google has said is the Chinese government's complained about the practice and threatened to withhold its license to operate in China. And it's, you know, as many people as in China and the money that's there, you know, they just hardly cannot afford not to be in China, even considering, you know, all the abuses, the pollution there, you know, you just name it, all the issues that are in China right now. And, you know, one thing, we're getting a lot of Chinese visitors here in Hawaii. And you know what the number one exit survey answer is on why they love Hawaii? They did not know the sky was so blue or the ocean is as blue as well. They've never seen the sky as blue or the oceans as blue. And that's pretty sad, you know, because where I grew up in Michigan, the skies are blue. Now the lakes aren't blue. They're brown. But, you know, generally pollution-free. Nice place to live. Fresh air. Hawaii's the same. But if they have never, didn't know that the sky was blue, that blue, it tells you how bad it is over there pollution-wise. So it gets off my topic here, but what do you guys think about Google making its shift here and kind of reversing course to try to keep their foot in the door over there? Love to hear your feedback. Again, email me or the voicemail hotline's open 24 hours a day. Over on Robin Good Master New Media website, he got a good article here on why website speed and page load times are so important to your online readers. And I think probably Geek News Central doesn't load as quick as it should because we drop a lot of video in and a lot of graphics, and I'll have to look at ways to increase the load speeds because Google is now ranking websites depending on the speed that your pages take to load inside a web browser. Response times to your website is important, so we'll have to see how this how the GNC website fares up. But you know, you guys like to see pages load fast as well. But when you got a lot of stuff going on, you know, that takes a little bit to load those pages. It really, really does. So I have that link up in the show notes for you too. Hey, many of you that were on the newsletter probably watched the video that I provided for you, the iPhone 4 versus HTC EVO video. Well, the individual that created that video was working at Best Buy. And I did say was working at Best Buy because he's been put on administrative leave. Apparently, Best Buy is not very happy, even though there was nothing in the video that indicated it was related to Best Buy. And he is being threatened with termination. So I guess this 25-year-old individual based in Kansas City, Missouri, has been working for Best Buy, but now is suspended. I don't know how they're going to be able to fire him. I guess unless it's a right-to-work state, I don't know. But I'm sure if they do, I'm sure he will sue because he says nothing about Best Buy, and they really only found his identity by doing some deeper searching into some other videos that were made by that username and found his name associated somehow and figured out that he was a Best Buy employee. So makes you wonder, you know, where that line is to be drawn. Of course, Google's got another little thing up their sleeve. It seems like this is Google Day, doesn't it? Google CEO has basically given a denial of a forthcoming social network called Google Me, which was, of course, announced by Kevin Rose on a Twitter earlier this week. So he's not completely denying, or it's a non-denial is what it is. So we'll see. What do you guys think? Think Google will be able to compete against Facebook? If they do it right, I think they'll compete very well against Facebook. But how much information do they really need to know about this? You know, they already know everything else. Yeah, and the Space Front of Progress resupply ship has launched. This launched on, I guess, when did this actually? It launched on Wednesday. And the Soyuz rocket carrying the Progress M06M was set up. It's got 2.5 tons of water, food, propellant, and other supplies. So that's not a surprise. Those are punched up quite often. And then, to make ready for the Progress to arrive, the Soyuz, basically that's the spacecraft that's always docked at the ISS to act as an escape vehicle, was relocated to a new docking port to make room for the arrival of the supplies. So that's a little action going up there at the International Space Station. Hey, there's a good article over on Ars Technica talking about, basically it's titled The PC, Simply Less Interesting Than It Was in 1998 to 2003. I don't know if I agree with that. Obviously, we have a lot more options. We got our mobile phones, we got iPads, we have Crackberries, we've got, the droids, you know, all kinds of different devices to get us connected these days. But my PC still is an integral part of everything I do. Now, he was referring to writing about PCs, and I think we all, in the early days, are really hung up on, you know, when it was time for to go from the Intel 286 to the Intel 386, and then from the Intel 386 to the 486, and then the Pentium chip, whoo, that was juicy stuff. It really, really was. And we all, you know, couldn't wait to get all the specs and information and how much faster the computers would be, and, you know, jumps of hard drives from 100 gigabytes to 200 gigs. That was big, big, big news. I don't even know what's in my computer on my desk. I have no idea what chipset's in there. Not a clue. I really don't. I could look at the label. I know it's Intel. I know how much RAM's in it. I know what relatively pretty much how much storage in it. But before I could click off every little spec, you know, I really could. And I think he makes the correct point here. That hardware is hardware anymore. You know, it's just, you know, most of these machines will do most everything we want them to do. Some will do them a little better than others, but we really don't focus anymore on, oh my goodness, you've got 2 gigs of RAM in that. Can I see the chip? You know, really, I would have people come over and want to see the inside of the computer because I was doing some interesting things. I was running my BBS. I was running 8 lines. I had a Comtrol card in there, and that was a $1,500 card, you know, sitting in my box. That was just, you know, that I polished that thing like it was gold. For as much as it cost at the time, yeah, you know, it was big money. It's still big money today. And, but is mobile taking over for our computers? Are you guys spending less time in front of your PCs or more? So love to hear your info on that. Okay, we talked about iMovie. I should have said that earlier. iMovie for the iPhone 4. And haven't talked about that very much at all. But there's a good write-up on Ars Technica about iMovie for the iPhone 4. And I was pretty intrigued here. I'm thinking about this as from a content production. Basically, I'm thinking, so, okay, how long would it take me to, you know, if I'm going to be at some event and I want to do a quick interview with someone and I got maybe a little external mic hooked up to it, you know, how long would it take me to edit and publish a video with this and be able to get it up online? You know, and it looks to me like it's pretty fast. If you've already got your, you know, the intro video done, you can just drop those in there, some pictures, transitions and labeling. And you hit publish, and it, boom, off to YouTube you go. And it gives you the ability to go 360p, 540p, or 720p. So what are you guys' experience with this that have the iPhone 4? Are you using iMovie? How's it working out for you? They're definitely changing the game here a little bit, folks. They really are. All right, let's talk a little bit about the peer-to-peer cases that are in work. As you guys know, that the Electronic Frontier Foundation, the ACLU, I'm normally not one to be a big proponent of ACLU, but the ACLU, EFF, Time Warner squared off against the Thomas Dunlap of Dunlap, Grubb, and Weaver. This is the firm behind the U.S. Copyright Group. Isn't that a nice name? I think I'm going to name one of my companies something similar like that, and we'll, you know, it just sounds like it's a government agency, but it's not. But, you know, that the U.S. Copyright Group has really been the one that's been responsible for sending out 5,000-plus lawsuits against folks that were downloading the Hurt Locker or even video games from German developers. But there was basically this big court hearing, and really what ended up happening was that they really took a hit here. The EFF did, ACLU, everyone pretty much lost any argument that they put in front of this judge. The only difference that is going to be played out in these lawsuits is that the judge is not going to put an end to the subpoena process. He is going to call a halt to subscriber notifications in the two of the main cases until all parties can agree on some sort of text, some sort of write-up that's going to be sent to those that are affected. The ISPs are not going to send notices to their subscribers until this text is worked out. It's a little vague here on what's going to happen. It really, the only difference is the wording on the actual subpoenas or lawsuits is going to be different. and it has to be agreed to by all parties. Now, we'll see how long this takes, but not a good day, really, for the EFF on this day. They had nothing really positive to say. All right, there's a great write-up here on putting hard numbers to the iPhone 4 antenna issues. Now, if you're an engineer type of guy, you'll know when I'm talking in dBs that, let me just say, for every 3 dB of loss, it's essentially, how should I say it? It's half power. I don't want to get too technical here, but if you have an antenna with 0 dB of gain, and then it is somehow affected by a touch and it goes to 3 dB of gain, effectively what you've really kind of done is decrease the receiving range of that receiver, or you have a less strong bar range on your bar indicator. So what they found here was that there was some loss in the iPhone 4. Basically, the iPhone 4 measured 14 dB and 18 dB drops respectively. However, the problem with the iPhone's 4 external antenna is worse, bridging the antenna detunes 3G reception by a full 24. They started with a 3GS. Now, when coupling an iPhone 3GS or Google Nexus 1 in the manner that caused the problem with the i4, okay, with the iPhone 4, they measured 14 dB and 18 dB drops, respectively. So the other phones, the iPhone 3GS and the Google Nexus 1, was 14 and 18, respectively. Okay, so they saw a drop in reception. That's considerable. So this is affecting 3GS and the Google Nexus. Now, when they looked at the iPhone 4, by bridging the antennas and the way people are experiencing, it detunes the 3G reception by a full 24 decibels. Now, they go on to say, as long as you have a signal strong enough to show 5 bars on your iPhone 4, which requires a signal reception, basically power hitting the antenna between minus 51 and minus 91, a 24 dB drop in signal strength shouldn't drop your call or data connection. Says, however, Apple only uses a very small range of the signal strength for showing 4 or less bars from minus 91 down to the usable signal cutoff at minus 113 dB. So if your phone displays 4 bars or less, a 24 dB attenuation will cut the signal below the usable limit. So in other words, where the range of the actual bars are, when you go to 4 bars, the decrease in gripping it is more significant than when you're at 5 bars and gripping it, which may not affect it. So pretty crazy stuff. I have the full article here. I could spend a lot of time on this and really go into this because I really do understand what they've done here. But basically, if you only got a 4 bar to start off with and you grip your phone, you're probably going to have a big issue. If you've got 5 bars and grip the phone, maybe not so much. Okay, I'm going to run along, or I'm going to have to skip some stuff tonight. The Art of Tweeting, it's a good article over on CNET Reviews. I have that linked up in the show notes for you. If you're a Trillion 5 user, Trillion 5 is going to be out directly, so you'll be getting that here to upgrade to if you're using Trillion 4. And I think this is something we all knew. Many people have members of their family that live a long time. They just have great genes. And always people said that people that live to 100 have great genes, even some people that have bad habits. So they have found now that people who live to 100 and beyond have a unique set of genetic variations that seem to help them live 20 years longer than the rest of the population. So the gene cluster seems to trump disease-causing genes that would otherwise cause common problems of aging. And then it says, winning this genetic lottery is no free pass. Exercise and healthy living still do play a big role. So, pretty cool. I know that with a grandmother that died at 98, a grandfather died at 99, and my dad's parents are still getting ready to hit their 90s. I guess got a good gene pool, but my dad's side, heart disease, is the one that seems to be getting all the guys. So if we can keep that under control, then maybe I have a chance. I don't know. So I'm sure there'll be a battery of tests we'll be able to pay for at some point. Also, do you ever have problems putting batteries in devices? Well, Microsoft has come up with some technology that allows you to put your batteries in any which way in a device, and they're going to be licensing this royalty-free. They're working with Duracell, so this is kind of cool, so you won't have to look which way the batteries are going in, and that makes it handy when I'm doing interviews and stuff. That'll be great. As you all know, your hair contains a lot of data. They can do drug testing from hair. There's all kinds of stuff they can find. And right now, they're able to determine which cities you've been in by the water you've drank in those cities. And basically, the makeup of that water changes the makeup of your hair, and they can track that. So they figure this might start being used in court cases. So, but most people drink bottled water now, so does it matter? All right, NASA set date for space shuttle final missions. They have moved the missions. So November 1 for Space Shuttle Discovery STS-133 and February 26 for liftoff of Shuttle Endeavour on STS-134, the last two missions. The dates had to be adjusted because of critical payloads. So that is in work. Let me go here and real quick and lock up the last couple of these. Hey, you know they got these companies now that do term papers for kids? $23 a page. Guarantees a B, turnaround in 48 hours. What's wrong with that picture? I actually have people that write articles. Huh. Don't get it. All right, I've got two or three more here for you. I'll skip those. One about the flying car, one about the no-fly list, and then about TwitPic overreacting to the folks are preposterous and importing data off their RSS feed. So those will be up in the show notes. I won't go into them. I've got a voicemail and emails here. So let me get into those so we don't run long. And this is one of my favorite callers to the show. And this has something to do with John C. Dvorak and Adam Curry and Stern's call. So this should be a lot of fun. I haven't previewed this yet. So, all right, here we go.
Hey, Todd. Brian in Brooklyn here.
Hey, Brian.
How'd you like that iPhone 4 versus Evo video? That just cracked me up. But, you know, it's not too far from the truth. It's the sad part about it. Hey, you didn't mention the photo I took that I sent you from the 30th floor of the looking down on the line at the Apple flagship store. That line wrapped around the entire building. And those blocks are long. The blocks in between the avenues, they're over 1,000 feet long. And the line is four people wide. Not to mention the size of the herd they had in the corral or the holding pen down at the Fifth Avenue end. The other photo I sent you, sorry, it was the wrong one. I didn't mean to send you Wi-Fi results. I meant to send you the 3G results. But I'm getting 5 megabytes down on the Evo and the Sprint 3G here in New York. I mean, I can live with that. No rush for 4G for me. It's a lot better than I was getting on my T-Mobile G1. T-Mobile customer service, great. But in New York, I'll tell you need to be on a CDMA network, at least for the moment. But hey, I was listening to that Howard Stern, Adam Curry interview. I didn't think Adam said anything negative about podcasts, and I only heard him say he didn't like the name or the term podcast. And I have to agree. I think for the same reason that Leo Laporte calls them netcast as opposed to podcast, you know, the reason is that it automatically associates podcasts with iPods. As soon as you use that word pod, people think it's something you can only do on an iPod. I know, I'm sure it sounds crazy to you, but you're around, you know, constantly around tech enthusiasts. Of course they know better.
Right.
But I'd imagine Apple makes a lot of sales on the term, podcast alone. People over here, that their favorite show is available as a podcast, they run out and buy an iPod. Or even worse, they think, I don't have an iPod, so I can't do that. I can't listen to that. I don't know if it's by PR design or coincidence, but Apple, they seem to often benefit from the terminology. I heard a guy the other day in the elevator saying how he's going to go out and get a new iPhone 4G. Mm-hmm, 4G. I didn't have the patience to explain to him that it's version 4, not 4G, and the speed is the same as the 3G or 3GS. But Adam was saying something to Howard about with 3G devices you can stream and that you don't necessarily have to download or subscribe, which works if you always have a connection. which we know isn't the case. So there's always going to be a need to subscribe and download. For me, I mean, I'm a DVR person, so I like to customize my listening time. I'm sure you don't remember, but I mentioned to you somewhere about show 300 or in the 300s, I asked you why you didn't consider having an audio stream of shows from TPN. Recycle them every few days, add a new one once in a while when they become available. And I guess you know Leo has an audio twit stream. I'd love to see what his numbers are on that compared to his podcast. It comes as a preset, at least on one of my Android internet radio apps. I haven't listened to it enough to know how frequently he recycles, but, you know, hey, even the BBC recycles news stories. Nothing wrong with that. I would imagine that with all the content over at Blueberry, you could probably set up a few streams with different genres or categories. Probably enough material there to keep it pretty fresh. You know, Todd, I think it's a difference between recording something on a VCR or channel surfing. And, you know, people are lazy. Yeah. I don't think subscribing to a podcast is quite as mindless as a DVR yet. But, hey, that would make a nice UI for a podcatcher, wouldn't it?
If it would.
Had a grid like a DVR program guide. All right, that ought to keep your brain busy for a couple minutes. Aloha.
Boy, that was a data dump, wasn't it? Thanks as always, and good points. You know, we've done the live stream thing before where we cycled stuff through at Tech Podcast, and it got pretty good traffic. You know, what it ends up being is just not enough CPU cycles. You know, the team at Raw Voice continues to be pretty small. We've done that to stay profitable and to lean mean and be able to move fast. So that's a challenge with that, and being able to do all the additional genres. We're obviously focusing a lot on video, and audio is still the core, and that pays the bills. But we know, we really know what's coming. And, you know, if you haven't listened to my my part on OTT in the roundtable I did last Saturday, and it starts about the 20-minute part, you should go over to techpodcast.com and listen to that roundtable and watch the video and look at my slides, and you can get a little bit of an insight into where my brain's going on all this. But great points on everything, and thanks for sending all the stuff in that you have. Hey, let me go ahead and let's get through the emails real quick here before I run way long. Got an email from Aaron. He says, "Hey, Todd, longtime listener, got my dad hooked." Aaron and Dad, welcome. "Anyway, I'm a developer at Articulate, and we have a free screen capture software that may be useful to you at Screener. Screener.com hooks into Twitter and allows you to publish free screencasts. A lot of people use it to give quick tutorials and how to do X on their computer. On the Apple bit, I can't believe how much Apple is treated like a golden boy. They tell us what we should install on our devices and now they're telling us how we should hold our phone. I can't believe the Apple lemming are totally cool with that. I swear, Steve Jobs takes notes from the villain in Snow Crash, L. Bob Riff. If Microsoft did anything like that, people would be holding torches and pitchforks and marching to Redmond. Cheers, Aaron." And I noticed, Aaron, you're from Bellevue. I know you don't work with Microsoft, but wow. Yeah, I think you're right, and Microsoft would not be given a pass on this at all. I got an email from Ron. He said, "Hey, Todd, I know you're space buff. Check out this site to get your image carried into space. We talked about this on an earlier show, Ron, but thanks for the reminder here. They gave you a flight certificate. You can find this at faceinspace.nasa.gov. And Ron, thanks for sending that in. He got an email here from Christopher. He said, "Hey, Todd, just checked out the GNC website and discovered that one of your contributing writers is the one actually stopping by through St. Louis. I read the story on Google Buzz and mistook it as your story. Sorry. The offer still stands, or if you're ever in the Kansas City area, I'd love to talk tech with you in person and maybe talk about life in the military since we've stomped some of the same grounds, I'm sure." And he says, "By the way, I'm liking the articles posting the site. It's really starting to gel, and it's quickly becoming one of my daily stops." That's what it's all about, Chris, is making sure it's a daily stop. And the contributing editors over there, bloggers, they really do a great job. And we actually did see a little bump in traffic last month, which is what the goal is to continue to climb that out. And I can pay them more when we get more traffic. Got an email here from Neer. He says, "Todd, how bored and low can some people get? Emotional distress over lost cause because of a defective iPhone 4. Give me a break and get a life." So this is an article that's over on Information Week. And yeah, you know what? I agree, Neer. But you know what? Some people, this is their only communication device, and they live and die by that thing. So I can understand their passion. Got an email from Greg. He said, "Hey, Todd, I was wondering if you or the Ohana had any resources concerning mobile ad view return rates. In other words, if one were to create an ad-supported mobile app, iPhone, Android, etc., is there a way to calculate the return on a per-view or click-through basis? I know slightly more than zero about this and would appreciate any articles or web resources about this, Greg in Austin." Hey, if anyone's got any help on that, we can help Greg out, email me and we'll share it with him, okay? Got an email here from Chris. "Hey, first off, let me say that I love the show and listen whenever I can on my Android phone using Beyond Pod to catch the feed each week." So Beyond Pod, that's one to remember, Android users. "Two things I'd love to see a bit more. Volume. Compared to Leah's show, yours comes off a bit softer. I know you want to avoid the explosives and coming in too hot, but I have to crank up the volume when I'm driving to hear the show. Not a huge issue by any means, but one I would love to hear implemented. The second is entirely up to you, but in my opinion, I love roundtable discussions. There's nothing wrong with a solo broadcast, but it sometimes coughs as a preachy, even for the best podcasters out there." Yep, that's me. "With at least a single co-host, there's a bit of interaction and fleshing out of ideas and opinions that you don't get with a single host show. I realize in your case, being in Hawaii makes things difficult to get a second person on the show with you. There are, however, special caffeinated supercharged geeks out there that would be great for counter arguments and ideas that would jump on the opportunity to talk tech with you despite the hour or night of day. Just a thought. Read that you thought about going." So anyway, what do you guys think? You guys think I should have a co-host on? Is there anybody in the East or West Coast that would be willing to stay up this late and talk tech and do a segment together? Let me know. Geeknews@gmail.com. I got an email here from Lamar. He said, "Todd, you must give credit to the Apple marketing team. There's been a huge influx of new iPhone users. A friend of mine who has a 3-year-old basic cell phone ordered a new iPhone 4, so I don't think Apple truly counted on the new clients. I enjoy the show. Keep up it up. No show changes needed, in my opinion." And again, Lamar. Got an email from Jeff. "Hey, say, Todd. Hey, not to be rude of your podcast. Don't worry. I'm going to read it. You mentioned that a Windows PC takes longer to boot as they get older. You also said it might be good if the operating system would delay the loading of some apps so that you could slow down to computing faster. About a month ago, on your show, you mentioned a program app called Soluto, which does exactly that. I've tried it on 6 machines, XPs, and Windows 7, and it works well. You want to give it a try. Soluto is free download." You know, I should take my own advice, right? Thanks, Jeff. Got an email here from Nicholas. "Same thing. On your last podcast, you're talking about how your PC doesn't boot up as fast after having had it for a while. And you pointed out it has to all do with apps that add themselves to the startup process. He said, I found a nice app the other day that you install and it monitors your boot up process. And it basically, again, talking about Soluto." So thanks, Nick, on that. Daniel sent me a link to some pretty cool Windows 7 ebooks. I'll have that link up in the show notes tonight. You guys check that out, okay? And it's one of the folks that run our library system that we have linked up on the website. Got an email here from Jeff. He says, of course, Jeffrey's one of our listeners that has basically had a gunshot wound a number of years ago. He goes to say, "Hey, Todd, I'm hurting so bad, but I have to listen. Here's a problem that helps you block startup files you don't need. I get the software from Paltra. It's Soluto." So everyone's telling me Soluto. So Jeff and Chris all said, told me to go get a Soluto. So I will go get Soluto and try it on the laptop that's got an issue. All right, we're right here at the time. And sorry about the goof up earlier. Those of you that are listening to the audio portion, I may just chop that where that time was. But those of you on the video, you had to live with the goof up. Thanks for hanging with me. Thanks for being part of the family. Everyone take care. We'll see. Hey, don't forget about the free prize, about that computer I'm giving away. Go do that stuff I talked about earlier in the show. If you need a reminder, go back and replay. I want you guys to get involved and win on that thing, all right? Remember, subject like A63 with the items that you need to do to win. Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Thanks for being with me here. And until next time, everyone, take care. Have a great 4th of July. Aloha.